Who made God?
Bertram Russell.
Well, he's saying God. Well, you know, this is something that a lot of people have kind of puzzle in their mind. And of course, if you start thinking about God and think about creation, and then go back before creation and go back before everything, and then you go back, you know, and your mind starts blowing up because you're trying to get in your head this God that existed forever and ever. So it's very difficult. Where did God come from? How come, you know, how could he exist forever and ever and then exist forever and ever after that? In our minds, we have to understand that it's something came from something. Well, that's, you know, first of all, I guess you'd say, well, God always existed. All right, well, that doesn't please a lot of people when you say that. All right, he was always existed, but let's just think about it. First of all, Isaiah 40:28. This is a verse that I had to stand up in front of the church at our Christian instruction class and say, "Hast thou not heard, hast thou not known, the everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, fainteth not, neither is weary, there's no searching of his understanding." So I still remember the verse quite well. So, "Hast thou not known, hast not heard, the everlasting God." So the Bible talks about the everlasting God, the God who is everlasting. And that's before time and to the end of time. The everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, that fainteth not, neither is weary, he's always there. So the Bible presents a God who's always been in existence. Psalm 92 says, "Before the mountains were born, or you gave birth to the earth and the world, even from everlasting to everlasting, you are God." Again, the Bible makes it very clear where God came from. Well, he didn't come from anything. He's the one who made everything come. But God was in existence before them. Now, first of all, would you agree that something can't come out of nothing? Mm-hmm. All right. One person, thank you. Yeah. No, and a few other nods. You can't have the physical world, anything physical, come out of nothing. Now, science has come up with the Big Bang Theory, and everybody runs to that as being the beginning of the world. And basically, that means that there was the whole universe was in a spot smaller than that. Everything was compressed into a tiny little nothing, almost nothing. The interesting thing is they never go back to nothing. There is always something. And why is that? Because something has to always come out of something. And so the world, even the world admits that there had to be a beginning point, because how do they measure it? They talk about from the beginning of the universe. So science even admits there had to be a beginning. And the best they can do is come to that point where the whole universe was wrapped up into a little point, and then it, what? It blew up and here we are.
That takes more faith.
Doesn't it though? It absolutely does. How can you think that out of that explosion, of course what they do, of course, is add more and more years onto everything so that they would then, here's how it happened. But science even admits, what they're trying to do is, number one, get rid of God, and number two, discredit Scripture. They don't want anything to do with God. If there is a God, then they're responsible to God, and who wants to do that, right? And so the world jumps onto this whole idea that, all right, the universe came out of nothing. Now, another thing that they say, if they'll try to get around this and say that this point here was the beginning of nth universe. In other words, what it does is it explodes and then collapses in on itself. Then it explodes and collapses in on itself. But science has proven that can't happen, because there's not enough energy to bring the universe back together. It's never going to come back together. And so that theory, which was once kind of popular a number of years ago, is no longer, because they can't explain it. So the best they can do is come up to that point. Now, Stephen Hawking, though. We all know Stephen Hawking, the guy with ALS who's in the wheelchair. Very smart, but very stupid. He's not spiritually minded at all. He's an atheist. And so, therefore, he comes up with the idea that he knows there's not a God because time started at the Big Bang. And God then couldn't have been because there was no time. Now, again, someone who's so smart, who can't understand that God transcends time and is over all things, he can't comprehend that or doesn't want to. He's been an atheist for years and years, and so I thought it might have something to do with his disease, but I read that it really doesn't. But he just doesn't buy this God thing. And so he and other scientists come up with the theories to try to come up with why are we here when they understand there has to be something in order to create something. Well, that's the best they can do, is come to that point in the universe just before the Big Bang, but there's still something there. Where did that something come from? They still have a problem. That would even be assuming that the Big Bang was accurate. I don't believe it is, but people will...
They just ignore it?
I've never heard someone address where that comes from. I just haven't. Maybe somebody has, and they've come up with some voodoo science to explain where that came from. But there has to be either some energy. You know, there's a connection between energy and mass. And so that energy and mass, you can bring mass into energy or energy into mass, but there's still something there. There's something there. Where did that come from? And they can never go to the other side of that point and explain where that point came from. So there's a problem right there in man's thinking. I think they basically ignore it and hope it goes away, or poo-poo it. And the evidence is so strong, they would say, about that Big Bang, because that's what they're looking for. So therefore, they will always try to find evidence of it. And it falls apart if you understand that that dot, if that's the way the universe started, still had to come from somewhere. What caused that point of energy or that point of mass to be there in the first place? Everything has a beginning, and there's a cause to it. There's something. If one thing happens, something else is going to happen in this universe that we're in. And the universe is expanse, isn't it? I mean, you go far, 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 and you can go a little farther. When God created the universe, He created it quite big. This is it. What was, and I started thinking, what was there before He created the space? You know, you have to understand that it's not just the space between planets that was there. That is something that was created. And so that creation includes space between planets, space between stars. And it's massive. There's 10 to the 22nd stars. Now,
but even that space has fiber to it. It has substance to it.
There's something to it. There's things in there that it's not just empty space. There's also energy they can't account for. And so there's things that are going on in the universe that they're completely clueless about, and they're trying to tell us, well, this is how we started, and yeah, blah, blah. So everything has a beginning, and everything has to come from something. Now, God, let's take a look at who God is in John 4:24. To help explain this, because scientists are concerned about the physical world, things that are tangible, things that can be measured. But God, in verse 24, says God is a spirit. Those worshiping Him must worship Him in spirit and in truth. So who is God? It's completely different than this universe. He's not of the universe. He's not physical, but he is spiritual. Now, can scientists measure this spiritual? You know, they try to measure the other world, the dead world. They just, you know, every once in a while I'm clicking through and I see these things where they're measured. The last time I did that was a couple of days ago, and I stop and it's got the infrared cameras there, and there's some movement in the background. And they, you know, and they, of course, to try to make it very ethereal, and about, it turned out to be a rat. But, yeah, they had to build this up into something that's, that's a rat. But it's, that's how humans are. I mean, we're trying to measure something that's unmeasurable, but God is not measurable. He's a spirit. He's not even a soul. The soul, you know, there's been reports that people can measure when a body dies, and they talk about that, you know, the spirit leaving the body. That's the point of death. Perhaps there's something to that. I don't know. But the spirit side is unmeasurable by humans, and God transcends, you know, God is all around this little, you know, we didn't really come from a point, but I'll just use this as a scientist, but God is surrounding this, everything else. God created time. Now that's something that we're so wrapped up into time, we can't get outside of time. There's theories that we can play with time, that we can get and move back and forth perhaps in time. There's even evidence. Scientists have come up with something that proves that you can manipulate time a little bit because they're playing with particles. Playing with that and seeing that when they manipulate something here, that it actually changes the past. Now, I don't quite understand it, but there's some proof that there's even possibilities. They talk about wormholes in time, and that's where... It's too much. What's that? So all these theories of being able to pass between times or take shortcuts in the universe, black holes that they talk about, that warp time, and so on. But that's part of creation. It's something you can't really, we can measure it because we're living through it, and man has come up with ways of measuring time because we're trapped in this time thing. But God created time, and because God transcends time, God is outside of time, God knows the beginning from the end because he's not part of time. There's evidence of that in Scripture. It says, for instance, Tyre and Sidon, God said, or Jesus said, if we had talked to Tyre and Sidon like we talked to you Jews, they would have accepted. In other words, he knew the beginning from the end. He knew if there were things that changed that these people would have accepted Christ, even though you people rejected Christ. And so there are things that he knows standing outside of time, knowing that what would happen or what wouldn't happen. In other words, he's in control of all these things. But scientists, of course, being trapped in time, don't understand that a being that is outside of time. They don't want to, many scientists. So, Romans 1:20. Romans 1:20 connects God with creation. Just like other verses we read, that God is outside of creation. He's connected to creation. And since the creation of the world, his invisible attributes, in other words, you can't measure them, they're invisible, you can't do anything about that, his eternal power and divine nature are clearly seen, being understood through what's been made, through creation. So when you take a look at what's out here, what should you all of a sudden understand? No, that there was a little point in time that it blew up and then it suddenly started forming into... No, obviously it points to God, doesn't it? And like Marge is saying, what's easier to believe? A God of creation or a billion or more mistakes, accidents that happened and now we're here? What purpose do we have if we're just a source of accidents?
I'd like to think about
I'm a little bashed the public schools, if I may. But,
imagine that.
They infuse in every single subject the topic of evolution to take away that given God consciousness, and it's after 12 years, kids, 90% of them leave the faith, but there is such a concerted effort to take away that faith that is programmed into them.
They've removed the Bible. And they teach evolution as fact. There's no other way to look at it.
Well, they teach the religion of humanism.
Basically, yeah, that's what they're doing.
If you don't get it then in high school, you'll get it in college.
Yeah, yeah. That's absolutely. So man wants nothing to do with God. They try to get rid of him as much as possible because we want to be the top dog in the universe. And so that's where we're coming from. But if you look at the universe, obviously, you know, you look at how delicately balanced it is and how things can be sustained and keep moving, well, you know that there's got to be a designer behind it. And so there's another thing that scientists often reject and schools reject that argument of designer. Colossians 1:16. For by him all things were created. All things. Before that, all things would be gone, right? That little dot? Gone. And what's left? God. There had to be a God. Now, if God were a being that came, that was created, what would that mean? There's something else before him that was created. And if that was created, then there'd be something else until you get finally to the thing, the being that was there from all eternity. So in other words, you can't have a created God. And you have to take it by faith because we're so wrapped up into time, we can't understand and comprehend something outside of time. God has revealed himself in ways that we can begin to understand who he is, but we can't understand fully God. We have to take it by faith that before creation, before anything was made, that God was in existence. So we go, we trust the Bible, and understand that logically there has to be a God. There has to be a creation, a being who created.
Is there anything to say that there are several creators or several creations, some of which, I mean, if we're going to go to heaven and then all of the universe will be done into a certain point and it will still be there?
Well, the Bible always points to Jesus Christ as creator.
And there's no evidence that there's several creators and several, or something like so minute that there's more creations inside creation.
Well, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit are given credit for creation. And if you go back to, and the very first verse in the Bible says, in the beginning God created the heavens. Now what are, why heavens? The Bible speaks of three heavens. Okay, atmosphere,
yes.
The universe, and then heaven itself where God resides.
Third heaven.
And so we have that God created, and this covers it all, the heavens and the earth. It's God who did the creating. And it actually turns out the Father is the architect, the Son is the actual creative person behind it. But the Spirit we see also in Genesis. The Spirit brooding over the waters it talks about, which we'll get into next as we talk about the gap theory a little bit. We're finishing the gap theory.
If there were other universes, if there were other places that we have no idea because they're not in Scripture, the second person of the Trinity would have created that.
I believe he would have been the creator. He's the creator of all things.
Right.
There's no indication that there'd be any other. You're thinking of Men in Black, I think, were the the universe turns out to be a little marble on somebody's desk.
No, I
Yeah, no, I'm just kind of kidding there. So, and the thing to remember is that the scientists who come up with things, they always change, don't they? What's good for us today is bad for us tomorrow. What's bad for us today is good for us tomorrow. So they don't have a clue. Wasn't the world going to freeze 30 years ago, 40 years ago? They were talking about global cooling. Remember that? And they had the big Earth and an ice cube, and back in the 70s, I think it was. Well, where's that? Science was wrong? Wow. Coconut oil? Worst thing for you? Well,
the rapture was supposed to come 2 days ago.
Yes, exactly. We missed it.
Again.
I know. Oh.
Just by science alone, based on, it has to be fact, be science.
Based on what?
It has to be fact.
Yeah.
Be science.
Yeah.
And so just all the stuff that they manufactured between, you know, what we have to believe is overwhelming evidence. Well, it might be evidence, but it's got factual.
Mm-hmm. You have to remember that all science is observations.
Yeah.
And they're observing that if I do this and this, then this will happen. And yeah, and then they turn into, after they've proved their hypothesis, then they say it's true. What's that?
They're treating origin science as if it's repeatable, it's not.
Yeah, exactly. They can't go back and evolve something and then say, oh, I've proven it. Do it again. All right, I've shown it again. They can't do that. They're assuming from circumstantial evidence is what it is. So the main idea, though, we went maybe a little farther than Jake had intended. Who made God? And the answer is no one. How's that? No one made God because God had to pre-exist. He had to. There's no other option. And if God did not exist, then you would not exist. And that's the proof right there. And the Bible goes right back to the proof. Look at creation. You know there's a God. The Bible says before that, nothing was made. After that, everything was made.
And I would suggest reading Job 38 and 39. It's pretty plain there.
Yeah, if you read
the... Then the Lord answered Stephen Hawking out of the world. And said, who is this who does counsel my words without knowledge? Prepare yourself like a man. I will question you and you shall answer me. Where were you when I laid the foundations of the earth? And goes on in detail for two chapters.
Yeah, amazing. It is. So Jake, Job 38:39. You'll never ask a question again.
You were in Colossians 1:16.
Oh, I don't think I ever finished that, did I?
Well, provide him all things were created both in the heavens and on the earth, visible and invisible. Pleasure, thrones, dominions, rulers, authority, all things will be created by him and for him. And then 17, it says, and he is before all things.
Yeah.
In him, all things hold together. So there can't be anything.
He's the one who not only created, but sustains. And that's why we don't have to worry about the world falling apart, other than when his wrath is poured out. And you read Revelation 6:12, I think it's 12, where people are begging the Lord for the rocks to fall on them because of the wrath of the Lamb. So that's, yeah. All right, we have...